Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
The world's changing, and what are things we can do to transform our business and engage our fans globally in different ways?
People are using their name and likeness to create more opportunities, more stakes in companies.
In order to turn the organization around, we had to turn it around not only just on the baseball operations side, but on the business operations side.
Football and any other sport is very difficult, but I like to broaden my horizons and be able to expand.
Sports need to be consumed live, and that's a big competitive advantage for intellectual property holders of sports content in the media landscape.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Michael Lynch.
And we are going to talk on this great jam session, the Bloomberg Business of Sports. Lynchy and I, oh my goodness, man, I missed you, Lynchy.
You can never have enough Michaels around, you know, and when Michael was missing, it just wasn't enough.
Damn, thank you. First of all, before we get into our talk of week two of the NFL, congrats on your Red Sox, 5 in a row. Look at you guys.
Yeah, everyone thought when COVID hit and players were dropping left and right that that would be the end of them, but they're standing 10 feet tall. And, you know, the hay is not in the barn yet, as they say. But they're looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, but you got the horses in there, though, man. That's pretty good. Two things. Let's start with the NFL.
Sure.
Week two. And your Patriots just this was a matchup of rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And the Patriots just trounced the Jets. You got to give it to your rookie quarterback. Mac Jones compared to Zach Wilson for the Jets. I'll get to giving some Zach Wilson sympathy in a second, but your comments.
You know, if he didn't take his helmet off and didn't change his number, I would have thought Sam Darnold was still there seeing ghosts. This was just absolutely awful. 4 interceptions. The first two he threw were picked off, and he just looks totally befuddled, totally confused on the sidelines. And the names and faces have changed over the years, but the Jets are just still really a poor football team. They won 2 games a year ago, and I'd be surprised if they win more than 2 games this year.
Now, spoken as a true Patriots fan,
yes,
as I see. By the way, Mac Jones, he didn't look like a rookie. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's very, very efficient. He's exactly what the Patriots wanted. The Patriots offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, has been designing plays for the better part of 20 years for a guy named Tom Brady. And, you know, Mac Jones is not on his way to Canton, Ohio yet, but he's very similar, and the offenses that McDaniels built for Brady is very well suited for Mac Jones. There's a lot of low-risk passing. They don't go over the top very much. Play action is a big part of it. They've got a good running game. And he's great executor. He gets to hand the ball off, and you think he's pulling it up to throw a pass. So a lot of his mechanics really freeze linebackers and defensive backs just for that one split second to give the running back that 1 second just to get through that hole and make that one move to get the daylight.
Now, see, let's just be honest, a couple of old guys like us.
Yep.
We remember when there was another rookie quarterback who looked awful in his first season, and then he wound up getting 4 Super Bowl rings. Terry Bradshaw,
yep,
his first season, I think it was 1970. My God, what was the old NFL films? He looked more like he was in an episode of Hee Haw more than anything else. But so to Zach Wilson, Lynchy, listen, let's get the cobwebs out of there. Yeah. And let's get some football going.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is down there. It's not going to be a one-year solution for him. Look at Sam Darnold came in from Southern Cal with a lot of hype and a lot of fanfare, and, you know, they got rid of him after 2 years. This kid's got a good talent. He's got a good arm, but they need to protect him a little bit. And, you know, a lot of those passes were just bad decisions, bad decisions.
You know who made good decisions? I know you miss him too. Tom Brady.
Number 12.
Oh, my goodness. He looked great. I mean, he was just throwing touchdown after touchdown. he's 44, folks. 44.
He is something, and he never surprises. Anybody up here in New England is not surprised by Tom Brady at all. And five touchdown passes yesterday. He threw a couple to Gronk. He threw a couple to, Mike Evans, number 13, and number 14, Goodwin. One more to him. And the defense helped out, too, with a couple of picks off Matty Ice, who played here at Boston College. And so I had Tampa Bay in my weekly pick, and if you win the game, you get the point number of points that the differential was. So I picked up 23 points yesterday with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
You sly devil, you. We had that, and we have a league like that where you have to put confidence points in the win.
Oh.
And, boy, I had it up high. I think it was like about 1 through 16. I had it like 15, if not higher. But I think it was around there. But we should talk about – now, I know we have a lot of fun on the business of sports talking sports, and then there is the business side of it, which is serious. The Saints, they're returning back to New Orleans after Hurricane Ida roared through there, and it's great for the Big Easy to get the team back and all bringing all that ancillary business back.
It is, and we all remember Hurricane Katrina, what a disaster that was, and that there are parts of Louisiana that still haven't recovered from that. Something about football just sort of, for 3.5-4 hours, just sort of galvanizes a community. And after they play, ironically, they're playing here this weekend. They're playing Sunday against the Patriots. And after they leave Foxborough, they're going to fly back to New Orleans. They've been in Fort Worth, Texas since August 28th. And that's a long time. That's a month away. And think of all the, you know, young guys on that team who have kids that are going to school. And you can imagine just all the things that are going between your ears. And then you got to focus on playing football as well. So getting back to New Orleans will help the players. It'll help the team. And hopefully just it'll be a little boost for those poor people down there who just seem to be in the eye of the storm all too often.
And the team, the Saints, they've also had to deal with COVID. They had several players and coaches out.
Coaches, yeah. It's COVID's not going away. It's affected a lot of teams. And, the New Orleans Saints, like they needed that, right, in terms of with everything else that's been going on.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
Let's talk two things about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Let's talk some business first.
Okay.
Fanatics, they landed an e-commerce deal with the Cowboys. Your thoughts?
Well, Jerry Jones, of course, we know he's been a renegade. I remember when he came in and bought the Cowboys, the league had a big deal with Coca-Cola, and they shared it with everybody else. And Jerry said, you know what, my people drink more Coca-Cola than the people in some of the other stadiums, so I'm going with Pepsi. And then the NFL had a deal with an apparel deal with Reebok, and he had to share with every team. He says, look, at my Cowboy jerseys sell 10 times more than some other ones, so I'm gonna jump out of that deal. And so now he's with Fanatics. It's a 10-year deal now. The Fanatics are going to run the online aspect of the Cowboys gear. And the Cowboys online last year had more than twice as many as their closest competitor, twice as many sales. Fanatics, we know, is a big company worth about $18 billion. We talked a few weeks ago. Fanatics is trying to get that one of those gaming licenses with the state of New York. They're into NFTs. They're into trading cards. So the big get bigger, and Jerry Jones knows exactly where he's going, who best to move my merchandise than Fanatics.
He's a sly businessman,
you
betcha. I tell you. And the other part of the Cowboys, and this is the part where people are going to say the Cowboy fans, Bar, shut up. This is about Dak Prescott. He had a rough game.
Yeah, he's back, but he had a rough game, and they did come out at the tail end of the game and win it on a field goal over the Chargers out at SoFi Stadium. But I was impressed with Dak Prescott in the opening game down at on the Thursday night game against the Bucs in Tampa Bay. If Tom Brady wasn't on the other team, Cowboys would have won that opening night.
There is a documentary
that
is coming out, and I can't wait. Ken Burns, it's his 33rd documentary, Muhammad Ali, and it will debut Sunday on PBS, part one of a four-parter.
Yeah, I saw. I hung in there for most of it last night. I love Ali. One of my boyhood idols growing up, and he was the most recognized person on the planet. He did so much for, I mean, forget about boxing. We all know what a great boxer he was, but he stood up to the government. He was just a champion for race relations, for inequality, injustice, and unfairness. And that's the Muhammad Ali that I loved and respected. And who better? I mean, is a documentary not really a documentary official unless it's done by Ken Burns?
No, you're exactly right. And I wish I could have seen the debut Sunday night. And unfortunately, I got to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But I hope that I can catch this like on Hulu on demand somewhere because I want to see that again. But more of what you were talking about, Muhammad Ali, back in the days when he was Cassius Clay, he had that charisma, as everybody knows, and everybody wanted to watch this guy. Whether you rooted for him or you couldn't stand him, yep, you had to watch him.
And he backed up pretty much everything. It's really funny, and some of these bouts before he won the championship over Sonny Liston, he was fighting all these this bum of the month club basically, and he said, you know, this guy's going down in five, and then he goes down in five. This bum's going down in seven, and like, you know, he had the guy like on the ropes, ready to put him away in the fifth round. He just sort of backed off, so he got to the seventh round, then he put him away. And, a lot of people from the old establishment love Joe Louis and Rocky Marciano because those guys just did their speaking with their gloves in the ring. And Ali was a different cat. And, you know, he represented the 60s, I think, pretty well. He was, if you think of the 60s and all that went on there, Muhammad Ali has to be right at the top of the list.
I hope they play the part where Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier get into, let's call it a fight, on the wide world of sports. Usually Howard Cosell, you've heard him when he would call games and this and that. He'd get excited and this and that. This one was like, well, we don't know if this is for real or not, but the two fighters seemed – I remember seeing that clear as day, Lynchy.
Yeah, it was. And Howard just sat there, and Frazier actually got up and walked out of the studio. He says, is he coming back? I don't think he's coming back. He took his microphone off, dropped it on the floor, and just walked out the door.
I loved it. But that brings back something else, too, about boxing. And I remember, and I wish it would come back, you didn't have really pay-per-view. In fact, you called it closed circuit back in the day.
Right.
But you would catch it later on Wide World of Sports, or maybe in the night, you would catch it on ABC. You would actually see the fight, and sometimes you'd see it live.
Yep.
Now it's all pay-per-view, and I wonder if we've lost an era of days gone by.
Yeah, we have. I mean, the build-up to every fight. He was his own pitch man. When he was on his way up, he would go and knock on doors in Louisville, Kentucky, where he grew up, because he got a cut of how many people showed up at the arena to watch him box. And he'd ring doorbells of black homes and white homes. Hi, I'm Cassius Clay. I'm fighting Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Come on down to the arena and watch me fight. And later on, he used his verbiage, you know. I'm going down, Joe Frazier's going down in three, and he was a great poet, he was smart, everything was off the top of his head. And one of the best partnerships he ever formed was with Howard Cosell.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they were just the carnival barkers, basically, for the next upcoming fight.
They were very good friends. Saw that when Howard Cosell would interview Muhammad Ali and vice versa. And it was neat to see that back in the day. I would like to see, and this was after, by the way, I'd like to see the part where Muhammad Ali was really, you know, got into, I'm not saying trouble, but got into a controversial moment when he did not go to the Vietnam War.
Right.
And then he was, you know, banned and stripped of the title and this and that, whatever. Now, I don't know how – I'm hoping that's in, like, part two or part three.
Yeah, you can bank on it. 3.5 years he was not allowed to fight anywhere because he refused induction on religious beliefs. He says, I ain't got no quarrel with those Viet Cong. And, you know, people would laugh at it, but he was dead serious. He took a stand, and, you know, imagine losing three prime of your career, losing 3.5 years of income. And then he had to. He came and reclaimed his title when he finally was allowed to fight again.
Oh man, I wish we could go on, Lynch.
Yeah,
I missed you, man.
All right. as Howard said to him one day, "That's a rather truculent statement, champ." And Ali goes, I don't know what that means, but if it's good, I'm that too.
I remember that too, yeah. This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports. You can follow me, Michael Barr, on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
All right, Scarlett, come save us, will you, by the end of the week? I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at Lynchy WCBB.
It's like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. We're here each and every week at this time. Catch our Apple Podcast on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And by the way, get that wherever you get your podcast.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.